Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
To Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings podcast on the Social Suplex Network wrestling podcast.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah. And you would never guess that that was take two.
No, I think it
couldn't have gone better. Spiritually, it was take 4 or 5 at least. Guys, how are you doing tonight? How are you?
I'm feeling incredibly sober, Allie. How are you feeling?
Jeez, not that way. Listen, I already told Ann and Leah, there's a little situation over here. It's not a big deal. Don't get stressed out. Don't be scared. But
when you told us, you did prefaces like, I have to tell you guys something. And Leah got a look on her face like, oh, God.
I was like, I can't take any more news recently.
Listen, I'd been drinking this week some of the weed seltzers that are legal across this great nation, and they weren't working. Like, they just all week just, like, hadn't been working. Drink a 10-milligram weed seltzer, be like, I'm sober. So I thought, like, my body has evolved past the ability to respond to weed, I guess. So before this podcast, while I was putting the schedule together, I partook a bit, one of them, and it did work. My body has not evolved. My body now is high. So just operating at a disadvantage tonight, legally. That's okay. Don't worry. Don't be scared. We're going to get through this.
I think it's going to be fine. I mean, like, we'll just, you know, spontaneously bring up, like, a really dense
topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, God, one that girls. Really needs all your brain to come at
girls,
it.
No, you hold my life in your hands.
Maybe at some point you can, like, recite, like, the scoreboard for the Connie. Like, do you think that's something you might like it to do?
No? You want to talk scenarios? Talk some math scenarios?
I was passing the mic over to Ann now. Our scenarios expert is in the hot seat. Looks like the best Connie sports journalist in the biz is on the case.
Wow, thank you so much. My toxic trait is that I like math, so, yeah.
I know that about you. Once a year, I know that about you. No, I know it sometimes, other times, too. Guys, this is our podcast. We're here. Was there anything else I had to say before, or should we just get down to biz? Do you have no news, maybe? Check out our merch if you want to, you know.
Allie, why don't we on the spot have you do some patter?
Hey, better. Swing, better. That guy. Guys, enough. I think, to be honest with you, enough of this lollygagging. Let's just talk. Let's talk graps. It's Connie season. You know it. You love it. Let's get into it. Who watched Collision, though?
No.
Nope.
We have to get back in the habit.
I know. When Dynamite started and they started playing, like, the recap of Collision, Connie, I was like, oh, Connie was on Collision. There's a whole league over there.
They put Connie, like, on Collision. I think they need to be running, like, ads towards the end of Dynamite. They're like, you might usually skip Collision, but wait.
Are you a Connie
season? Are you a Connie girl? You aren't going to see these matches if you don't watch Collision, the show you usually hate. Collision, you're fine, but you are on Saturdays. So, well, free idea.
There's no Dr. Odyssey until, like, March, so maybe... Maybe we.
Oh, you think that'll turn us into Connie girls?
Well, no, I mean, like, since we've got the space in the schedule. You turn that over to the Connie.
You know what? You can submit that to the committee and we'll review it at a later. We didn't watch Collision, but we caught up on the promos and we caught up on some of the stuff that happened. So we'll do our best and we'll be better next week. And we try every week to be better. than the last. So, okay, so this week on Collision, Will Ospreay beat Juice Robinson in the Connie, but Juice is injured, so he's out of the Connie, and another man, maybe Commander, is in.
Did you see he apparently, like, broke his whole fibula and apparently didn't even look injured in the
match?
Oh,
my God.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he broke it. Like, nobody knows exactly what spot it was that he broke it in, and nobody can tell. It's like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's which spot in the match? I was like, which spot on his body? And I was like, he and his doctor know. Not enough people, probably.
All the wrestling podcasters are like, we haven't seen an MRI. There's been no x-rays posted to social media.
I'd love a little more of that energy, to be fair, but.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's out. And then Kyle Fletcher defeated the Beast Morbitos, and Danny Garcia and Okada had a time limit draw. Okay, every single man did a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Round of applause.
That, it's so true.
I mean, I won't actually fit through
Ricochet,
myself. But.
Did you hear that? The men who wrestled, they did a promo.
Yeah, is Ricochet is still the only slacker then?
He didn't wrestle this week, so he's got a temporary, like, I think he's wrestling on Collisions.
Darby didn't coming do one, up. Did he?
No. So it's
two slackers, but Darby. You expect.
But Darby, well, he loves the grind, though.
He does love the grind, that's true.
But I think all of our new matches from this week, I think everyone did a promo. Could that be right? I think it's right. So very good job.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of Garcia Okada? Oh, well, just conceptually. You didn't see it.
It was a great match, Allie. I liked every second of it.
The promos were good, though. I mean, like, there's not really much story, like, yet. So, like, Okada just gave, like, a pretty, like, generic, like, boy, I love to wrestle, and I'm great at it, so don't worry about that.
It was funny because there was a big, like, Okada's, like, the king of tournament wrestling, which is a very funny, it's like, well, it's kind of similar wrestling to other wrestling that happens, right? I mean, I get that you've won tournaments, but.
I think it, like, the difference, they seem to, like, talk about it more in Danny's promo, that, like, it's, like, because you have to wrestle so many times in such a short span. You know what I mean? Like, usually in a lot of those tournaments, it's not.
Oh, sure.
Not as often, as long. It's kind of not a sprint.
That makes sense.
Marathon. Did I just do the same thing that Mark Briscoe did?
You did, yeah. I'm looking at this list of men. We got four promos. Danny Garcia, Matt Menard was there with him being like, I'm so proud of my son. That was sweet. Did we learn anything about what's going on in his head right now, about who he's going to be going forward?
No,
but he was mostly just kind of like, well, I'm doing better than last year, so that's cool, you know, which is fine. Like, it's a real medium,
very well-adjusted attitude.
Right. Yeah. And Daddy Magic was very like, have you ever seen a more beautiful and most improved boy than this boy? Which is fun. Also,
I also love.
I'm glad you're proud of your honors, son.
I also love them patting each other on the back where they're like, yeah, Danny won the TNT by the belt, and what did he do? Run right into the Connie. That's right. Absolutely.
Where he had a draw, so we're excited about that. Yeah.
Okay. Okada, fairly generic, not sure what's going on with him. I guess he was a real little rat boy during the match. That's fun. Will Ospreay, and I honestly liked parts of this, and I do just like Will Ospreay, and I like listening to him talk. This was a real hockey promo. This was a real hockey player promo. It was a real, we just got to get back out there, get points on the board. And when you get the points on the board, that's when you've got them. Promo.
I agree. Yeah. But I also weirdly thought, and this might be 3D chess, that it was like, he was like doing a promo from a guy who's been emotionally devastated and just trying to, like, keep himself glued together. So his mouth is saying the hockey nonsense, but his eyes are saying, I wish I was dead. I wish I was dead.
And he just felt look very tired. Yeah.
It was, like, low energy. Yeah.
It just felt like the tint had been turned down, and he was like, there should have been a sad violin playing in the background. Like, it was sad.
You've contextualized it effectively for me, because now I'm just juxtaposing him in my head with the wonderful thing about Tigger's Ospreay. And I'm thinking, you're so right. He is depressed, and he could barely get himself out of bed that morning. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'd love to see that breakdown continue, though. It's going to have to get a little worse and worse for me every week, please. And then Kyle Fletcher is in heat. He is. He had his little promo with Don Callis and cat in heat behavior. He's basically, never mind. And don't worry about that.
It's true that there is something like what there's something going on with him where he's just like manic, where he's just like, he's like, this is everything I want. I'm getting everything I wanted. Everybody loves it. And I feel great. And I love life. And who could not love life if they're me?
Well, he fought Shelton Benjamin in the Connie on Dynamite this week. And that opened the show. And Kyle came out. Does anybody want to describe his outfit for me, his new outfit?
I don't remember that well what it was, but I just remember the moment where he had like the long pants on, but they were like breakaway pants, like a stripper. And then he broke them away, but very slowly while making
a stiff breakaway material of some sort. Yeah,
while making very intense eye contact with his opponent.
Well, he's also wearing now, there's a matching vest, and the vest is covered with like doubloon tassels is how I would describe it, I guess. So that's bringing like a kind of a weird, I don't know, like pirate. Did I say Pirate King about him recently? I feel like I did. Like, no, that was about Mox. Well, I think there's some nautical stuff going on across the board. Anyway, and then the tearaway pants thing. And then he was kind of humping the ropes. And it was like, wow, the lifestyle suits you, I guess.
What powders has Don Callis putting in his food?
Leah, what did you say about Don Callis and Kyle?
That, like, I do want someone at some point to say to Kyle, like, yeah, he did this to Kenny. Like, enjoy. He's about to ruin your life, too.
It's, and oh my gosh, it is giving a little bit when Kenny was in his belt collector era and he was getting so deranged.
Yeah.
Wow, the effect Don Callis has on these men. Interesting. Much to consider. So Shelton lost this match with Kyle because Kyle cheated and the ref didn't see. And afterwards, backstage, we had Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley, MVP promo together where, what was happening here? MVP was screaming.
Well, because Shelton lost, right? And so he was like, this is not what we do. What do we do, Shelton? What do we do? We hurt people. What do we do? We hurt people.
I thought this was great after last week where he like just didn't say anything and MVP was the one talking, where it was like, I think MVP berating him gives a good good context to silent little Shelton Benjamin. So that is a lot of fun.
Yes, it's good to like, it's interesting to start to get a more of a feeling of like the manager role there. And then I guess Shelton did get so worked up. Did you say this, that the poor production assistant was walking by and they just started wailing on him, and then they beat up like three production assistants. It's such an unsafe situation back there for these poor PAs.
Don't you think that Dustin Chuck Taylor should sometimes be one of those little production assistants?
God, I want to see Shelton Benjamin throw Chuck Taylor into a wall so bad.
Just jot that down for when he gets back from surgery. Wow. And then there's just the screenshot of Kyle's boobs. They really looked good. Did you guys see that? No, you didn't see it. Okay. All right.
Everybody was looking really good last night. There was a lot of good tits out last night.
Yeah, it was beautiful, Hunk City. Okay, and then also on Dynamite, Claudio and Brody King main evented. Lydia, last week on the pod,
I really stuck my neck out. I really said,
stuck your neck out.
I'm standing up for Brody.
I can't listen to Allie bully him anymore.
Brody's allowed to come home with my children after school sometimes. I bravely said, you know, I think we need to be strong and forgive Brody. And then he kind of did a mid-match with Claudio, so really rewarded me. He said, girls, don't forgive me. Don't. I don't want to hear the disgusting things that you say. Here's nothing.
Yeah, I don't think he didn't embarrass you, but he did you no credit either.
No.
No, he didn't.
He didn't add to my argument.
No. I mean, it's hard to, when you have the enjoyment of a big man really ragdolling a small man, and then you're just faced with a big man doing normal wrestling to another big man, mm-hmm. it's like, well, what a disappointment.
Yeah, it just, it's hard to get as worked up.
And Claudio's so mild-mannered that it's really hard for me to, like, project any dynamics on his matches other than, like, he's just happy to be there.
I know. When it's funny that so we got promos from both of these guys. And Claudio's, again, he was quoting something, but I don't remember why, which I think is a very funny character note, that every time he has to do a promo, he's like, just look at my little book of quotations. I'll find a little something that'll help me communicate a feeling. But he did seem really calm. So I was like, I don't know what's going on with you, really. I don't know why you had the theses stapled all over your garb the other day.
I kind of liked his promo, though. He's still giving that, like, Hallmark hero view. And I do feel like he was talking about how he's, like, just he really believes in Mox's vision or whatever.
It cracked me up because he was like, people are like, you, what did he say? You follow Mox blindly. I don't. I follow him with my eyes wide open or whatever it was he said. And I was like, okay.
He's like, I just really believe in what he's doing. I was like, well, that's kind of interesting.
I guess. Well, I didn't mind it. But then, and then Brody got himself cleaned up after. No, he didn't get himself cleaned up after his promo this week. Mm-hmm. So that was good. It was right out of the ring and breathless. But then beyond that, I would say a fairly unremarkable.
Yeah. So I agree. We just need to get to the point where, like, people are mad about losing or they're worried about the direction and the tournament is taking.
Yeah.
Or, you know, somebody's working on something. Like, no one really has given a promo that's like, here's what's going on with me.
Yeah.
And it does just take some time for the storylines to kick in. Although I was feeling a little bit like, well, like, last year we had, like, some really cool people in the tournament. And this year, like, they're fine. I don't object. But, you know, it's like Eddie, Claudio, which one gives me more to work with emotionally, you know, so.
Yeah, it's pretty clear cut there. Well, I think that we'll give him another week to cook. Yeah. We'll see what they get into in the next week. But I agree, let's start to bring the temperature up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. Anything else that we need to talk about here? Brody? Oh, Brody wore his winter coat to the ring. Has the heat been cut off? Can Tony pay the heating bills?
Is that how Tony has been affording all these WWE guys? Is that he's just like, guys, bundle up.
He spent all his money on, like, high quality commercial type segments for people, and there is none left for the heat in the arena.
I said, sir, but sir, the gas.
He's like, we gotta give Bandito a little.
It is really confusing that that some of these segments are being filmed so well now, because two segments in one night where you were like, is this a commercial or is this a promo? The other one being Mox's car ads. He's doing a great job.
When I see a pickup truck driving beautifully through some kind of desert, yeah, I think it's the commercial break. So
Okay, let's move on to talk about Mercedes Moné. We had a backstage segment with her where Renee was interviewing her. And what did they say to each other? It was about Camille. It was like, Camille's gone.
I think, like, on Collision, they showed that Camille got beat up backstage. So I think she really got, like, written off. I think somebody was speculating that she's, like, gone for good, which is crazy, but wow. I mean, she didn't seem like a nice person, like, in real life. So
politically, I didn't like what I read, that I now don't remember what I read anymore.
But I don't think we're missing anything, but it is very strange. I love when Mercedes yells at Renee, though. She's like, Renee, come on, get it together.
I think they have a really, like, good energy together.
She got yelled at, like, a lot this week.
Poor Renee did not have a good day at work. If I were her, I would have come home in a pretty foul mood.
And been like, hey, John, can you beat up more people? No.
Got some people to add to the little list there.
Hey, John, I wasn't sure before, but I do believe in your vision. But I guess she said she was going to keep an eye on a match later on the show. That match was Penelope Ford and Anna Jay. We had a little video package reminding us of their rivalry over the years. I liked it.
I loved that. I really did.
Wow. Thought it was sweet and helpful. Mm-hmm. I didn't really need it for them, honestly, but...
Those two I knew.
Yeah, those two I knew. So I thought that was fine. And then Anna won the match, and afterwards she hopped on the mic to call out Mercedes. Mercedes came out with both her belts, and they did a little back and forth posturing in the ring. And Mercedes, Anna Jay was being like, okay, let's fight now, let's fight now. Mercedes acted like she was going to, and like started taking off her, what are they? They're just glasses that aren't glasses?
Like props.
Basically. Yeah, like, yeah, what do you call, like, the New Year's Eve glasses, you know, like, just prop, yeah, I guess prop glasses.
I was really excited to see Penelope.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun to see her back.
I miss Penelope. I feel like I haven't seen enough of Anna Jay, although maybe that's just having had a month off.
She was in
I think she had she was in Stardom, but then I think she had a number of matches while we were gone, all of which I said I should go back and watch that and have it. So
while I did get a little bit bummed while we were watching Penelope, because I was like, but she needs the bunny, and she was tag team married to the bunny. That sucks.
The bunny had such a fun, like, psycho character too, which Mercedes is kind of tapping into now, which I like. I do feel like something's kind of clicked in for her this week, last week, which is fun, but
yeah. That's true. Although nobody could ever scare Ben the way the bunny did.
No, they did not enjoy it. And I was I feel like I knew that girl in high school, and that's a very specific girl who is a psycho and terrifying, and I love it.
Oh, yeah. I actually am picturing her right now in a time when she just answered the phone in the middle of class and got into a screaming argument with the teacher. Wow, Cecilia. Okay, let's talk, because we can't not, about what's happening in the world of Adam Cole. Leah, do you want to debut your, I loved what you called this, match?
The Every Kiss Begins with K Battle Royale.
Beautiful.
Which I entirely missed, and I did say I was going to watch it, but didn't. Unfortunately, I was like watching the hurt people when all of a sudden I like had one of those moments where I sat up and I was like, there's poop in this room. And so
I like how you say
one of those classic moments.
It's a very common experience for a pet owner and probably for a parent as well. But yeah, for a regular person, you're kind of like, a what moment?
Pet parents and human parents, you know where I'm at.
Yep.
So I spent the Every Kiss Begins with K Battle Royale in the bathroom with my very angry cat, and the two of us had our own wrestling match, our own Battle Royale.
And I know you love when that happens. So fun. So you missed most of this. Well, Anne, do you want to describe how this match started?
Yeah, so kind of we come back, we open, there's many men in the ring. Adam Cole's music hits. We get the full, long Adam Cole entrance. He marches down there in front of everybody's waiting for him.
Unabridged. He does
the bay, you know, boom thing. And then we could start the match. It's like, Adam Cole, this is a little bit self-indulgent, buddy.
You know, it really was... I am not saying this meanly, but I did think to myself, oh, a bridge too far.
Unfortunately, every week we're getting more and more into my, I'm done with Adam Cole. And he's really not doing anything to dig himself out of that.
No, it's like, you can't nice guy your way out of this situation where all we keep thinking is, but you're not a nice guy. I mean, I know real Adam Cole is, but my God. This is crazy. So then there's 12 men in there, 11 men standing around watching the boom baby.
And then they it's a wedding and he thinks he's the bride coming down, except actually other people also walk down the aisle at weddings. So,
oh yeah, you're right. He didn't even have a maid of honor.
Wow. You'd think Kyle would get to be the maid of honor at least. Two entrances?
Kyle, I guess no. Kyle's too mad at him for it right now. Mm.
Okay. I just thought Kyle could be the opposing party, the groom. Wait, no, that's not right.
I think I'm now going to think of every singles match with two entrances as the bride and groom's entrance.
Well, as the bride and groom's entrances or the prosecution and the defense. I guess that is, this feels right. This feels right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was sitting there thinking to myself, like, who's the prosecution? Who's the defense? I guess I can't quite make it work.
With Adam Cole and Kyle specifically?
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, guys, look, then the match happened. And there's all these men in the match and any standouts? Anything you want to say about the men or about the experience of watching that many men all at once? A few too many?
It was a pretty medium battle royale, I would say. But as I was watching, I was like, oh, I've missed watching battle royales because everybody they do a lot of tableaus, you know, where they're like, I'm in the corner and his foot is on me and we're kind of trapped in combat, unmoving for like a full 2 minutes while like things are happening in other places, which I get a big kick out of. It's like a living Christmas, like the Arrested Development living Christmas, right. Whatever, diorama.
Oh my God. It really was. Honestly, I kept seeing spots from men who I hadn't realized were in the match and being like, yeah. Oh, I really like that man. Lance Archer did some really fun stuff. Leo Rush, I hope he's happy here now. He came to us once before and he wasn't happy. No. He left. I hope he's having more fun this time because I love watching him wrestle.
I know, he's lots of fun to wrestle. And then I kept being like, who's that handsome man in the middle? And it was Brian Cage. His hair and beard situation, very different, much more pleasant. Loved it.
And I think who's that handsome man really captures the emotional experience of it for me as well, that I kept being like, One of my boy's friends. One of my sweet boy's friends.
Oh, Brian, it's you. Brian, you've changed so much over the summer. Yeah.
He just looked a little more normal than usual. We got a close-up of his body, like, after at some point you had been like, oh, I'm loving Brian's look tonight. We got a close-up of his body, and I thought, oh, well, he still does have a few too many of those muscles. But of those, it sounded like you meant
a few too many bodies, which that's kind of right, yeah.
Brian, that's much, much too much body for one boy.
It's just bulging.
But his hair is looking better. It's looking good.
It's looking great.
Brian, I can't wait to see you at the school play. Okay. And then, so Kyle and Adam won. And they're going to fight each other, maybe at Winter is Coming, certainly at some event. And then the winner will fight MJF at World's End. Adam and Kyle got into it a little bit in the ring. Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, when they were the last two left in the middle, I thought, what a shock. What a surprising outcome to this battle royale. Really zagged on me.
I could have seen it coming.
Because I completely missed it, I came back and was like, so who won? And you guys were like, oh, well, Kyle and Adam Cole won. And I like hadn't heard the rules. And I was like, they drew? Like, what are we doing
the prosecution
here?
And the defense?
Mistrial?
It like was, they were not very clear, I think, ahead of time or even in the match that there were going to be like two winners and that it was going to be like a prelim match before the MJF match. I don't know, but
I
whatever.
I think
it's
they
fine,
said
I
it,
guess.
But I can't say I was paying very much attention. So who can never be sure?
It might have been an interesting stip if they didn't just do like the you have to fight like three men before you can fight me thing, because it just feels like Max's whole thing is coming up with reasons why you can't quite fight him yet.
And, which really should just be, he's filming Happy Gilmore 2, a movie that's going to exist for some reason.
I don't think it's a movie that anybody asked for.
It's and really... Yet- The target audience for Happy Gilmore 2, or 1, which I, of course, enjoyed because I was in high school at the time, is high schoolers. And everyone in high school was born long after Happy Gilmore 1 came out. So, like, I don't know what we're doing.
I've never seen it. Is it good?
I don't think
if you're in high school, it is.
You know, Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, it's an Adam Sandler movie from the 90s. You know what it's like.
You know, I managed to avoid watching most of them, to be honest.
Wow. Not Billy Madison, not Happy Gilmore, not, no. What other ones do we have? Well, those were the heavy hitters.
Click?
Really.
I don't think I've ever seen Click. Probably not from the 90s.
When she comes to stay with you on your way to Christmas, have her do like a Adam Sandler marathon, like kind of like strap her down.
Tie her down,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and be like,
cool. Time for Happy Gilmore. I don't know that I see that for
It's really not the kind of, it's like if you missed it at the time, you missed it. There's no going back. It's like,
I'm not trying to go back. Just a pleasant inquiry between friends. Hey, Happy Gilmore. Is it a good flip?
It's fine. It's fine for what it is. I could still probably quote most of it. It's unfortunate.
Most of it?
Well, I don't know. A lot of it, probably, if you reminded me of it.
There you go. MJF had a pre-tape. His hair needs quite a bit of attention.
Is he turning into Michael Richards in Seinfeld slowly?
I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, like, making me wonder about the technology of, like, hair plugs. It's like, it's regular hair still, right? It's not made of horse hair. Like, they're not doing a horse hair transplant, right?
I honestly don't. Where are they getting them from? The hair follicles.
I don't know.
If you told me that they were not, like, there was not hair follicles, it was some kind of fiber that hadn't yet been spun, I would be like, yeah, that tracks.
It's somehow getting drier and worse looking, like, every week. Like, this was the worst it's ever looked.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is we used to have a lot more curl talk conversations on this podcast. And then at a certain point, the men of wrestling broke us. And we were just like, what else can you say? You don't know what kind of hair you have on your head. So
it's like, if they don't know what conditioner is at this point, what can we do about it? You know,
but somehow MJF has moved into a space where it's like, I'm at such a high level of concern about it. Like, I just can't stop thinking about it. Like, just go to a salon and they'll just talk you. They'd love to sell you $150 worth of products that with very little effort could improve this situation quite a bit.
Yeah.
Please.
Literally just stop using like 2-in-1 from the grocery store.
Or go back in time and say, no, actually, I don't want the horse hair.
Yeah, rip that horsehair out, man.
My God. Okay, what else is here? Oh, MJF said Adam Cole looked jaundiced. There was a jaundiced storyline on Dr. Odyssey this week.
True, there was. It's one of those things that I was like, it's kind of mean because, like, I don't know, like, Adam Cole's already, like, down, you know what I mean? Where I'm like, MJF, we don't need to be hearing that from you. Like, I had a moment, I was like, we can say that, you can't say that, you're part of the problem.
MJF is probably just excited that for once there's someone whose spray tan is worse than his own. It's the first time in his whole life.
Probably the first time ever, yes. Do you have any desire to say anything that you think will happen with MJF, Kyle, and Adam Cole?
They all get shipwrecked, and Kyle eats both of them.
He would.
That'd be a beautiful storyline. That'd be the best storyline they could do.
The end.
Just Kyle smiling.
And he walks off into the sunset with Mark Briscoe.
How did Mark get to the island? Was this a plan the whole time?
He rescues Kyle after Kyle's
eating. Comes and rescues him. Does Kyle tell him?
Chickens help him. Oh my God, he has a team of chickens on a sled.
Does. And then they ride off in there with their sled chickens into the sunset.
Mm-hmm. Forever.
Roll credits. Yep.
And that's how wrestling ends.
That's how wrestling ends, yeah.
And then we're free too. We're all free.
We're all free. We never hear about a rating ever again.
Oh my God. Guys, it's been a rough week For those of us who've many times said, like, when I was into Buffy, I never had to hear this much about ratings. It's been a rough week. Okay. Mariah and Renee had a sit down on Dynamite this week. I seem to have stolen this. Oh, it's just from the site. Mariah insulted Renee and Renee tried to walk away. Mariah said, I think giving a title shot to my best friend is generous. I believe in you, Mina. And then in the background, we had this shot of like someone coming around to this room they were doing the interview in. And it was Mina. And she came in, she strode in and she shoved a bottle of champagne at Mariah, which Mariah like startled took. And she said, do it to my face. Make me work. Because I guess Mariah had also said they just cut lines. Mariah had also said, like, I want to make her work for it or something, where it was like, oh my God, please. I wish you would.
Yeah. What they're doing right now is very good because both of their energy is like electric, where it's like, yeah, they could be fighting or they could be fucking, but they're both super into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so nice to see Mariah finally get to do another juicy little storyline.
Yeah, I think it's like it's already been quite helpful for like her feeling focused as a character. Mm-hmm. The match is going to be at next week, right? Like winter is coming. Mm-hmm. I think on Dynamite, which I was kind of surprised by because I guess I assumed they would build it as a pay-per-view thing. But
I wonder if it'll be one of those ones where there's a fuck finish and then they redo it again
and a rematch.
Yeah, interesting. That seems very plausible. I really wish Winter is Coming and World's End didn't both start with a W and were within weeks of each other, because it's just like, why?
I don't have the ability to balance this many names in my head.
Winter is ending.
For me?
Winter in the world ending winter.
Let's get into the meat of this Death Riders stuff, but I did describe it. I didn't want to describe it because it was hard, but I did do it.
You're so strong and brave.
So God, strong.
Is this my worst night of podcasting ever? I mean, it's really been pretty bad, right?
Do you want to talk about the gas station for a while? Just to...
Kind of. I'm like, I'm so stressed out.
It didn't help. This week didn't have like a lot of stuff for us.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's like... We were dealing with cotton candy and you're like not, you don't have all your tools in your toolbox.
I didn't mean to be this way. It was an accident. Oh my God.
I know. And I'm like really overtired too. And I've had a horrible week at work. So that's not helping.
I also had a really bad week at work.
Yeah. Neither of you sounded like you were having a good week. My week was medium, but probably next week will be really bad because I didn't do more this week. So we've all got it coming eventually. What was I going to say to you guys just now? I had a little thought. Seems to have gone away again. What were we talking about? It was a long week. There wasn't a lot for us. Oh,
our gas station.
Our beautiful gas station. I was going to say, what did you think? How much did you like this episode of Dynamite?
I liked it. I thought it was fast.
Yeah, it was medium. I feel like the Connie, when it's just getting started, feels like a lot of grab bag matches, but like I enjoyed it.
Did you like it more or less? You're at the optometrist now. Mm-hmm. Did you like it more or less than the week before?
Probably a little bit more, but it was pretty even.
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened last week?
Yeah. I think.
I like the stuff at the end that we're about to talk about. That was good.
Yeah, I like this part.
What happened last week?
What happened? Do you think I have an answer ready?
You're the one. I thought your line of questioning was going to be like, and so the fact that you liked this week more than last week says this about you. And I was going to be like, I'm with you. I'm ready. What happened?
No. I don't know. I was just trying to do some like science where people seem to really like this. Okay. I've been stressed out because I'm like, gosh, I love seeing a little conversation about wrestling on this internet of ours. But when I see it, then immediately I'm framing my own experience in the context of what other people said. And it's really hard to know how you feel about something in a vacuum instead of like reactively to conversations that you've seen around you. So I'm having a whole philosophical thing about that today before I'm high. And then so people seemed to really like this episode way more than I thought they would, because I an hour in I was like, well, pretty slow ep, not a lot cooking. But people seemed to really like it. And then the week before, I felt like I'd been like, this feels so fun. But then people were like, this episode sucks ass. And so I just was trying to ground myself in, I don't know, just the world of.
No, I had a slightly similar experience where people did seem to really like this one. And I liked it fine, but it wasn't a huge standout for me. So,
yeah,
I'm looking
but
at
also,
our,
yeah,
I'm looking at our schedule from last week and I'd like to take it back. I think I liked last week better.
I thought you were going to say for some reason, I'm looking at our score sheet and I was like, oh God, no, not tonight.
Should we start ranking every episode of Dynamite in some kind of spreadsheet that then we could graph? Would that get us more in line with the IWC and their spreadsheets?
I think it would bring us into conversation with our peers a little more. Yeah. Okay, well, Leah, what? So you think last week was better?
Darby and Brody.
No.
The something happened with Mariah. I think more happened with Mariah and Mina.
It was the turn with Mariah and Mina.
Yeah.
Which so was that cool. Was exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the turn. And the swerve, there was the swerve thing where.
Oh, the little.
Yeah.
Set up with.
Oh, that backstage
Max Caster.
Thing. Yeah. Max Caster. Yeah. Well, yeah, we haven't gotten to that talk about. Yet. We did have that this week. The more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm like looking through our schedule and being like, this was a great schedule. Can we just talk about last week?
What do you think went wrong this week? I mean, nothing went wrong. Hey, guys,
I was
going to
say, Allie, marijuana went wrong.
No. With the wrestling. No. The wrestling is fine. What was I saying? What did I start saying?
You started to say what went wrong this week.
Oh, yeah, the marijuana. What went wrong?
The thing is that there's always going to be episodes in a season where it's like, I need you to have these facts, and it's not going to be that interesting for you to receive these facts.
Yeah.
But the rest of the season is going to be better if you're in possession of them. And that's this part of this the cycle
season.
Is that we have to build up the wins, we have to build all this stuff in, and then we can start to cook, but you know, it's not like it's that entertaining to get there.
I think I still like this week a little bit better than last week because of the things we're about to talk about, but I didn't think either of them were like the most scintillating I've ever seen.
Mediums. Yeah. Okay, well, none of this was meant to be. I don't even know why it took us down this route. I think it was just funny when I was putting this schedule together. I just felt like, what happened? And why was everyone so happy about it? And then I thought, God, why do you care? Why do anyone care what anybody else thinks? What is the point of this exercise in the first place?
I know. I actually did feel like this week I saw a number of discourses where I thought, I started to start thinking like, what's my take on this? What do I think? And then I thought, I think I don't care to have a take, and I really just...
And who told you that was okay?
It was Marcus Aurelius, but it really worked for me. I felt very like I am protecting my peace this week. Like,
good for you.
Yeah. You know, when work is really stressful, it does give you some downstream effects.
You're like, it's true.
Can't care about this right now, so...
You really start to... really puts things in perspective. Because actually sometimes with wrestling, I see something I don't like and I get so mad and then I think, this isn't your job. Thank you.
That is my favorite thing to say when I'm reading AEW discourse is, I don't work there.
I don't work there.
Yeah, it sounds rough for people who work there. Not me, though.
And I won't work for free in the discourse economy, grinding the mills of discourse.
Yeah.
You can pay me or I walk.
We just work for free in the podcast, right?
Yeah, but then if in the podcast minds, as long as you're not at the discourse mill, you can always say like, wow, this isn't a good episode because I accidentally got high. They can't do anything about that. There's nothing they can do to us girls.
That's true.
Until
they
later
can't take
when
our
you get
livelihood
fired,
away.
When Mr. Apple contacts you and says, Allie, that was shit.
Oh God, I would be like, well, where have you been for 4 years?
My dad the other week, he was like, and how do you get a podcast on the radio? And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he was like, a podcast, how do you get it on the radio or on TV? And I was like, well, if a podcast is on the radio, it's just a radio show, Dad. And he was like, no, but a podcast, how do you get it? And I was like, well, if you want to get a podcast, there's no barrier to entry at all. You just upload it. He was like, you upload it? And I was like, I don't think we can have this conversation. I don't know what you have read that led to this question, but a radio show's on the radio and the radio station decides to put it on. So does that answer your question?
I vaguely think that the way to get a podcast on the radio is to be paid by Sirius XM or something. Yeah, does that sound right?
I think that's right. It's like, yeah. Dad, did you read an article about Joe Rogan? Like, what happened here?
For some reason, I just went down a little rabbit hole where I was like, should we try to get on Sirius XM? Should we make like a little tape, like a highlight reel of our
send it into Sirius XM. Yeah. And like a podcast on TV. Aww. It's like, do you mean YouTube? Like you can just upload that as well. I don't understand the question.
Did you tell him that you're on YouTube?
Oh, I didn't. I should have, though. I forgot we were on YouTube, Dad, to be honest with you.
My podcast is on YouTube. It's pretty big.
Yeah, it's...
But Dan, when are you going to get on radio?
Yeah, got to get on that old radio.
Look, I'm sorry for whatever I did that caused all of that to happen. I'm sure it was me. hey, let's get down to business because we talked about some stuff that didn't thrill us too much, but let's get thrilled. Hangman fought Yuta on Collision. Hangman currently has a bum knee that he's been playing up for quite a while now. At some point, I assume that's going to come to a head. Yuta tried to take advantage of the knee, but then he got pile-drivered instead, and Hangman threatened to cheer him because he was trying to like coax Mox into the ring, but none of the other Death Riders came in to save Yuta.
They all just sat there very stone-faced, like, yeah, we see what you're doing, and go for it.
Take him, have fun.
They're like, jokes on you, he likes that shit.
Like, we almost did that to him ourselves the other week. It's totally fine.
I loved commentary. He said, this is what the Death Riders did to Chuck Taylor. And I was like, yeah, he got it from his mother. From his mama. Where he learned it. Jay White came out and Blade Runnered Yuta. Oh, God. Oh, that's the end of that. The rest of this happens on Dynamite. Okay, that's the end of the Collision part. And then Hangman had a promo with Christopher Daniels where Christopher Daniels was the 99th old man at AEW this year to give someone a rousing, this isn't you, speech. And Hangman screamed, it sure as fucking is me. Don't ever tell me who I am. And I was like, that's very in character. That's good. He never.
He knows what he's about.
Knows what he's about.
He yelled that he didn't need advice from some old man, which I appreciated him hanging a little lampshade on the old man advice epidemic that's been going on.
I'd love to see a little backstage meeting at some point addressing the old man issues.
I want it to be like Daniel Garcia, Jack Perry, and like Private Party are like standing at the front of a room full of wrestlers going, mind your business. Leave us alone.
Okay. So then this week on Dynamite, Jay White fought Pac in a match that was not a part of the Continental Classic. Now, for some of you, that may go without saying. It wasn't in the Continental Classic, so there's no need to bring the Continental Classic up.
Perhaps maybe you started watching this match and you thought to yourself, non-Connie match. And then you retained that over and over. As you watched this one single match that wasn't even that long, you just kept thinking to yourself, yeah, it's not a Connie match. Well, we're built different.
What? We're such Connie girls. Like every match we watch, we're like, it's a Connie match. It's Connie season.
I literally three times was like, why is the ref letting Yuta be there?
It was like being stuck in a current, a water current, you know, and you keep being like, God, I get in the ocean here, and then I always get out 10 miles down the beach. And it's like, that's what it was like to try to retain that this wasn't a Connie match. Leah says in our group chat, oh my God, I'm so silly. I just thought it was a Connie match, but it's not a Connie match. 10 minutes later, I'm sitting there being like, God, but why is Yuta allowed to be there? And where does this leave him in the Connie standings? We can't retain it. During this stupid, I tried to make him fight Claudio. I tried to write about the points again. It wasn't a Continental Classic match.
But therefore, it sure felt like one. It sure felt like it was kind of just, you know, two men pulled out of a hat without a lot of personality kind of facing off in a sports framework.
I just think that during Connie season, there just shouldn't be matches that aren't about the Connie, to me.
It's true. It's like, I think that's fair. There's like six Connie matches over the weekend that we didn't see because you didn't remind us that Connie girls should tune into Collision. Why didn't you put those on Dynamite instead?
There's like three of them on Rampage. We have to watch Rampage
this week. Rampage? I forgot that was a show.
Well, it won't be for long. You shouldn't
put Connie matches on lame duck shows.
This is your finest beef, your finest cut of beef, whatever one that is that's really good. That's the one that is. Put them on the main stage for that reason. You know what I mean?
I think we should at least alternate our blue and gold matches between shows, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Don't put all the... Who was... I think it was Eddie's League last year that got stuck on Collision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to end up watching so much fucking wrestling just to see the one fucking segment a year that we're really into.
Sometimes I remember, like, I'll be like, God, it's like he wants me to watch 5 hours of wrestling a week. And then I'm like, he does. But I don't want to. It's not even like you have to catch my attention and it's like, but it's available. It's like I'm trying to withhold my attention from Tony Khan. And he's like, I've simply got to get your numbers for my Nielsens. I need your eyes for on my the Nielsens. The only gift I want for Christmas this year is your number and my Nielsen. Jay White fought Pac. It was not a Continental Classic match.
Bears repeating, because we could have forgotten in the time that we've been talking here.
We'll have to remind ourselves periodically. Okay, so Yuta was on the sidelines. He could be there because it wasn't a Connie match. And and he's trying to interfere and distract, etc. But Jay White manages to win. And Yuta tries to attack Jay White, but Jay takes him out. And then it's the clown car. Marina's coming out. She maybe has a briefcase, if I had to guess. Mox is hiding, and Marina's distracting from him. And then Mox reveals himself. Hangman comes out because he got a scent of Mox.
Wasn't it like Marina came out, and like she and Jay White squared off, and everybody was like, is this finally the time that men will be allowed to do violence to women? And like, I think Jay White even started to reach for her, and that's when fucking Mox came out of nowhere and was like, no, no, no. No intergender.
Charlie Brown football. And then OC was disguised as a cameraman, so he wasn't on last week.
That got me. By the time that like they start to move, you're like, oh, I know that shape. But for some reason, despite spending a lot of my time looking at Orange Cassidy's body, I was like, who is it though? Who is it?
Yeah, they did a really good job with it. I think I wasn't expecting OC to get like re-involved with Mox in any way. So this was like such an exciting follow-up. I was thinking too that like if you were in the arena, it must have been even more exciting because like when I see a camera guy getting awkwardly in the frame, I've watched enough now to be like, that's no cameraman. But if you were in the arena and like less aware of where the camera was, I feel like you would have just seen like a backstage guy suddenly attack Mox, which is fun.
He's good at those angles. Okay, so then
all in black too. Looking,
I know.
Good.
Looking cute, looking mad. Mm-hmm. He strangled Mox, I think.
Yeah, so, with the camera wire thing. Yeah.
And then Mox is in the ring and they do all the moves on him?
They were kind of going up the ramp. OC was attacking Mox, and then,
they all ended up in the ring, and then Jay White did his move, and then Orange Cassidy did his move first. This is not good radio. Jesus God.
Luckily, we're not a podcast on the radio, so.
It's so true. Unless we send that letter to SiriusXM pretty promptly. Super Orange Punch, Jay White, Blade Runner, Buckshot Lariat.
Yeah. You did such a good job. You did a really good job.
This is one of my more embarrassing nights. Christian Cage was lurking by the bad boy hole with his dented briefcase. I couldn't find a handle on it. It just looked like...
He always kind of holds it like a...
His like contrary a precious
cradle to himself.
Contract holder, yeah. And then, so Mox left, and what did he leave? They can't have done the moves all on him. It's probably on Yuta.
They were doing them on all the Death Riders, I think.
Yeah. Okay. God. Everyone got it.
I'm trying to like go to my mind palace and remember. And I remember them all doing their sexy, cool moves, but the man they did it on, it's blank. Don't know.
It must have been Yuta. Who else could receive so much damage? It wouldn't be Pac.
Was out there.
Could have been Pac. They did a lot. You're right. To Pac.
And you were there. And you were there.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I have to do a notes app apology. All right.
Oh my God. That is how we should tweet this episode. Will you write us a notes app apology and we'll tweet it with the with the episode?
I will. Yes, yes. I will. Okay. Oh, Leah, you want to talk about what commentary was saying about Yuta?
Oh, at one point they were like, it's like a spell has been cast on Yuta, and he can't break free. And I was like, that's an interesting thing to say, because if Yuta ends up turning on Mox and he's part of the thing that brings down Mox, that would be very sexy. I would like that a lot.
Yeah.
And they are really still playing up, you know, the Yuta being treated badly by the Death Riders and not being quite on board or whatever, you know, that he's having weird stuff going on with him, which is fun.
No, they've definitely kept it on a low simmer and to a pretty good degree. Mm-hmm. So, I'm quite interested in that.
And I like the end here where OC and Jay White and Hangman were all in the ring, kind of looking at each other, but being very wary, where it was like, we don't like each other, but we're all kind of on the same side, but I don't trust you guys at all. Like, I thought that was a fun dynamic between the three of them.
Now, are all of them... No, OC has personal reasons now for wanting revenge. Jay White wants the belt. Hangman has said wants the belt.
Yeah, and Jay White kind of wants to get in Hangman's way a little bit, I think.
Yeah, that seems right-ish. Interesting. Well, I'm interested to see them flesh out some of these desires and dynamics a little more before I feel the need to have a take.
Yeah, I was excited to see OC getting this kind of follow-up because I feel like people have been, you know, upset about, like, people losing matches and whatever, but I feel like this is like a good turn, and OC's character seems to be like moving, which I like the, you know, the shifting, and hopefully it's going somewhere. But it seems
Where it's going is that he does a promo and he cries.
That's the dream, yeah. Obviously,
I'd love to see some.
Of course,
tears.
That's my dream for every member of the roster, male member of the roster, anyway.
Yeah, women, you can cry too, but.
Only if you feel like it, though.
Only if you feel like it. Only if you want to. Men, get out there regardless.
Put your bras on.
Let's just check in really quickly on the Christian stuff. So there was Hook had an in-ring promo this week where he was like, you wanted to fight me a couple weeks ago, but they didn't, I guess. Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne, I heard what you said this past weekend. You want me to fight in a couple weeks in New York City. I've got a better idea. I'd rather fight your long pause, quote unquote, father. I understand it's what we say every week, but when you say it in the ring, it just sounds weird. It made me a little nervous. That's all I'll say. And leave him in worse condition than you left my father in. Nick, come fight me right now. Patriarchy comes out. We have a whole melee in the ring. Mother Wayne is distracting Hook. Kip Sabian is prancing around, looking so cute. It's just crazy. This little gay mage look is so out of this world for me. Yeah. I literally, in the middle of him jumping around doing something, I thought, God, should he be in the D&D movie sequel? They've got to get one. And I know they could find a role for him. Some kind of hunked out little elf.
I think he would do really well in it, too. And I think he'd be eating that scenery so quick.
He'd be so good at it.
Do you remember on that show, The Other One, when he gets a role on Windweaver? And he's like the little elf with no lines. But then it turns out his character is the Windweaver and he's a huge star. That's what I'm picturing for Kip.
I want that for Kip so bad. I think he's ready for it. This is his moment. Okay. And then Nick Wayne smashed Hook's wrist over and over again with a steel chair. Daddy Magic on commentary is saying that hand has got to be broken. I felt like a little baby because I was like, well, that either means it is really hurt or it's not.
So true.
One of those things must be true. One of our listeners pointed out that this Hook and Christian stuff has not been playing out over the past few weeks of our absence.
And incredible.
I believe we have no explanation for what perverse desires led Kip Sabian to kneel at Christian's feet and beg to be his boy.
It was just something that Tony did for us. He's just like,
save it for the girls. Save it for him.
Well, I think that while we were gone, they had an in-ring segment that, like, the setup had seemed to be like, I'll say what I have to say to you, Kipathy, and to you as well, other man, Hook.
Tyler.
I'll say all in the ring. But then it seems like maybe he didn't say anything in the ring.
Seems like it.
I'd like to know what was going on with Kip. Why did he steal the pen so many times?
And, like, are they still doing No Nut November or whatever they're doing?
Were they doing that?
That was our bit, right? That Kip won't be able to.
Oh, my God, right.
Won't be allowed to.
And I really was like, wow, they said that on the show. No, certainly. One of our comedy bits. Yes.
You know, they're a little japeries we do around these parts.
I think it was heavily implied on the show, but, you know, yeah.
Certainly,
come out and say it.
I would like to know the last time Kip was allowed to relieve himself.
Okay. That, I didn't like that. Don't say that anymore. I don't put my foot down often, but anymore.
Anymore.
She used to put it down all the time, and now she's one of the worst instigators.
I know it.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you for your honesty, at least, there. So we just don't know. Okay, well, we don't know. Anyway, something's going on here. That's it. Swerve and Max Caster had a match scheduled for this night of Dynamite. We get a backstage segment with Max Caster, Anthony Bowens, and Billy Gunn ahead of time. Max Caster is... he's so cocky and sure of himself. And Anthony Bowens actually was he stressed out? Well, he was some way. And
he was doing a lot of self-talk about how he was the best wrestler alive, like to pump himself up kind of. Yeah. Unclear whether it was out of cockiness or anxiety or both.
Yeah, probably a combination. Billy Gunn jumped in to be like, you are the best in the world, so go out there and show it. Anthony Bowens made a face like he certainly is not. And I don't want to be hearing that right now. And so a little discord among the men. I personally enjoyed this segment. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was, I think all of this with Swerve has been a great use of Max Caster and his repulsive personality. Because it's like, this was clearly like, this guy's out of touch with reality. He's insane. He's not pleasant to be around. He's annoying everyone around him. Perfect.
And I sort of feel like Max Caster needs to be like, taken out and beat up every now and then. If otherwise, like if he just does too many backstage segments, he gets weird. Like it's like if you keep a little kid like cooped up too long, it's like they're gonna write on the wall with like crayon. So you got to take him out. So yeah, I think you gotta have him kicking his ass is probably good for him.
Yeah, he has what I have referred to before as a self-inflating beach ball personality, where it's really important for someone to sit on him pretty regularly or else he'll get too big and pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, this whole thing where Swerve came out like so mad. He's had all these losses. He's very worked up. He was ready to punch Max Caster for making smirky faces at him backstage. And then he basically squashes him. Surprising. Delightful. I feel like this should be happening all the time with non-jobbers. Like, I felt like it was great for Max Caster's personality. I thought it was great for Swerve coming out of, like, all the losses he's had lately where it's like, oh, he's, like, really worked up and he's really, like, taking it out in the ring. Just really good character work from everybody. Shocking.
I agree. I thought it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Beautiful to watch. Just yeah,
of
really
course it helps that they're two of the most beautiful
very
men on
handsome
the roster.
Men. Yeah. Very good handsome bodies. And beautiful
very
men.
Very good bodies. Mm-hmm. There was one moment where like both of them were just heaving at each other and I was like, well, it's good to be alive.
And it is okay here on this bench of an earth.
This world does have some good things in it, so
Yeah.
And it was so refreshing too, just to see somebody like people take a loss, but like use it in their characters. And like, I feel like in sports, you do have like, you get kind of revved up and you could beat somebody that you wouldn't necessarily beat on a yeah. different day or in a different mood. And like, top guys should be willing to take some losses and put them into their stories.
I agree. I think that's one of the things that I like often get frustrated about in wrestling is feeling like there are a lot of conversations that will kind of imply like if somebody is this good, then they should always win over people who are less good. And it's like, yeah. well, that's not life. You can right. win over somebody who is better than you in one specific instance. Like, and it's mm-hmm. interesting to think about, oh, well, why were they able to do that then?
Yeah.
Not that exactly. Swerve is much better than Max Kinch. Well,
yeah, right, clearly. But it's like, but, on other days, he probably wouldn't have squashed him so hard. Like, it would have yes, been a little bit yes, more of yeah, a yeah, match. Yeah, yeah. yeah exactly.
I
know.
If any of you have been out there yelling, like, I can't believe that you're comparing these men's abilities. We're not. It's just general. You took the specific instance, but then we applied it more generally. So don't yell at me, please, God.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these guys, they think they shouldn't lose because they're so big and tough and they want people to like them for being so big and tough. And it's like, that's not actually what makes people like you. People like you when you're a little bit sad and relatable. It's like, oh my God, Hangman and Eddie, man. You're pretty popular.
Let's bring
something
back
to think about
those pathetic men. We haven't seen as many pathetic men at all recently. And what's happened? The numbers have dropped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Line interest has gone waning. Down. Oh, Mr. Nielsen, real where are you taking ratings. All those numbers? Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have the requisite amount of pathetic men on your show for this many numbers.
So true.
So make him cry. Hey, Tony, look at me.
Yeah.
Tony, look at me.
Just try some crying. See where the numbers go. I think you'll find there could be some positives there for you.
Let's go fly a kite up to the highest height.
Do you think any of the men in the Connie will do, like, the deranged patheticness that Jay White was up to last year?
I'm worried, no. Because let me look at this list. Shelton Benjamin
probably not might, gonna cry.
Probably not going to cry, might murder MVP. Won't. But could. Kyle Fletcher, too happy to cry. I think he's only... he has to lose to Ospreay again in this. Or, I mean, yeah. he won over Ospreay, so Ospreay's got to get the win back in this, right? Maybe not. If he does,
he's
Kyle
so
will
manic.
Be
he's
he
not gonna.
Cry.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
I would love to see Ospreay. I would love to see Ospreay have a losing streak that he has like conniptions about. A, because it would make my wrestling like interesting, and B, because I think Dave Meltzer might fucking lose his mind.
He's not going to be well.
I do feel like with Ospreay's like demeanor this week, I think with a push, he could get to a crying place.
Like to see is for him to win, beat Kyle, have some big matches where he wins and cry after one of those. Just when like the vibe is like, Mr. Ospreay, you must be so happy. And he's covering his eye, being like, go away. And he's sobbing.
That's a great emotional dynamic, and it would make Dave Meltzer so confused because he doesn't understand having a good thing happen, and then it makes you cry, but some of us do.
No.
The idea that Dave would get everything he wants, which is Will Ospreay winning on TV every week, but also have to contend with Will Ospreay crying about it. Like, I feel like he'd be like, this is the only thing I want to talk about, but what am I saying? I don't know.
He's like, and then he wasn't looking at the camera, and but he won the match. He's like, doesn't even want to get into that. He's like, oh God, who knows what he's doing? That's not for me to know. He won the match. I would love that. I would really, really, really like to see good things happen to Ospreay, and he sobs about it.
Yeah.
Please, just for me. The Beast Mortos will not be crying. beautiful man.
And Danny Garcia was troublingly emotionally stable this week, which I did not care for.
I mean, he's done enough, like, sad boy in the dumps.
He basically cried last year.
Yeah, it won't be as effective.
True.
Ricochet could pull something out if he wanted to.
I'd love it if Ricochet cried. That would help.
I don't know what would make him cry. He hasn't revealed anything to me yet that would make me understand what could cause him to cry. But if he starts cutting promos where he's like, everybody's so mad at me and I don't know.
All the internet does is yell at me and say that I'm washed.
I'm worried that I'm washed. I'm really worried.
Another thing that I've been on a philosophical journey about this week while I hold you guys captive on our podcast is that this isn't really, it's like not, so like everyone's mad at Ricochet, right? Because they're like, he's not doing his good high flyer matches. He's doing these other matches that we don't like. And I don't have that much of an opinion about it. And he hasn't been telling a story. So I do have my own grievances with Ricochet, but I keep accidentally like really being on his side and being like, nobody understands that when you're an artist, you want to try and do different types of art to prove that you're good. And people will be like, do this one type of art that you know how to do. That's what we like from you. And you're good at that. And we want to see it. And they think that that makes you as the artist feel like fulfilled, but actually no one can really feel fulfilled. So as an artist, you're just like, oh, so I can just only do one thing. Maybe I want to be able to do other things. And I keep being like, maybe he wants to be able to do other things. What is his primary duty? Is it to you or to himself? And some would say to you, the viewer, because he's a paid employee. And I don't know. It is a balance. Do you guys ever think about this?
No, I do. Well, I do. When, honestly, because I think about that with Hangman sometimes, where like people want him to do things, or even Kenny. Like people want Kenny to do like certain kinds of matches, and it's like, okay, well, that like let Kenny do what Kenny wants to do. Sometimes you have to let him.
Or Okada too. It's like if the man wants to be a goof, by God, let him have some goofs. You know.
It's true. And it's like, I guess nobody's obligated to enjoy the art you make because you're trying to be true to yourself or because you have a knee injury, who knows, but nobody's obligated to enjoy it. But like, do they have a right to tell you you can't make it? Kind of no. But again, you are a paid employee, so you're trying to sell tickets and put butts in seats. But I don't know. Sometimes people just think like, if an artist can do something, they'll be so happy to do it. And it's like, that's a person with personality disorders, just like the rest of us. Okay. They're chasing some feeling of satisfaction in their life that they don't know how to achieve, just like you. Keep that in mind next time you say, do a flip. You know? Well, is there anything else to talk about? Or was that kind of it?
I think we did it.
Got through it.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how do you think this went? Like 3? 1?
It definitely hit lows.
It had some lows.
Had some lows. Do you think you can fix those in post?
Good luck,
Ian. I'll do what I can. Yeah, I'll do what I can.
I'm going to just come back and do a pickup for the whole episode, maybe.
Just a pickup. Just kind of re-record.
What if we let Ian post it with all of the no cuts? So all of the cuts.
I'll be like, I fixed it, you guys. And then there's just like a long pause, and then Alice says, cut all of that. That was terrible.
Oh my gosh. See, it's even, well, anyway. Okay.
It's fine. People can't dictate to us as artists. We wanted to try something new.
We made the art we wanted to make. We have personality disorders.
I have to be completely honest with you guys. I wanted to make different art than this. I wanted this art to be better. I wanted it to be pretty much the usual.
That sometimes I do have that feeling when people are critical of Tony Khan, which of course I am also very critical of Tony Khan, but sometimes it's like, well, I don't think he's doing bad art on purpose. I think he's dealing with a lot of stuff and he's trying to do good art. And sometimes you just fail, and sometimes we just have to allow people to fail. And when you're on a weekly schedule, it's rigorous.
We've said it many times before, even in a standard old school 22 episode season of TV, half of them are duds.
Yeah.
Most TV's bad.
And they can rewrite those TV episodes. And this one, you're writing a story and halfway through your guy refuses to lose or he hurts his damn knee or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Guys, would you forgive Tony Khan for like a couple of his crimes if he came out at the end of a pretty bad Dynamite and was like, I'm so sorry. The weed seltzer was so much stronger than I was expecting like, it to be.
I thought I was immune. And I'm not immune, you guys. I'm really high right now.
I wanted to make different art. But this happened.
And it's too late. The show's over now. So it is what it is.
It would be a real humanizing moment. I think I would be moved, and I would say, God, who among us? Who among us has not been there? Let's just throw on Time Cop and forget it ever.
Can I say one last thing?
Yeah.
Chris Jericho's new Shania Twain looks.
You've been saying some pretty concerning things.
It has been a little concerning.
I believe last night you might have said, is this Chris Jericho's sexiest look yet? Or something like that.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. And even to a group of Chris Jericho enthusiasts as we are.
We all just kind of politely stepped around that too.
Something about his hair under those cowboy hats is just like, it's giving Barbie movie. It's giving...
And I
think you said that in my screen. I was like trying to get in the bat. I was so tired. I was trying to like get ready for bed. And then my TNT feed went black. And then you were like, this is Chris Jericho's sexiest look. And I was like, oh, what it is. And I had to refresh it. And then it came up and I was like, huh.
Oh, new...
what it is indeed.
His new bit where he fucks up cities' nicknames was really getting to me. I was enjoying that a lot. Where he was just, I love it here in the Bean Town. Babe. And then he finished and he was like, well, have a great time in the Big Easy.
So simple. So classic.
So classic.
Thank you,
so
Chris Jericho.
He's a funny.
Thank you for all you do. And thank you for your beauty and your hats. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
It is Tunnel Talk, I'm afraid. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have merch now. We've had it for a little minute. We have it. You can find it at chop-tees.com. We have a little something new coming soon, so we'll keep you updated about that. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network. And you probably should this week. Like, I definitely wouldn't rely only on us this week. I would say that.
Unfortunately, I think One Nation Radio was off because Rich was sick. God, so
that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Go listen to Keeping It Strong Sarah style. Week. Yeah. We got to message Jeremy and be like, you guys have to do such a good show.
Do a really good job this week, please. Because
this
situation. Or Trish and Sarah aren't on this week.
No, they are. They are. So they'll be out
this coming
too.
Week.
They
this past week.
Hey, go learn about art. Go learn about WWE. We've got lots of other great options. Don't rely only on this podcast this week. Come on, join us down on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, please. And as always, please come back next week.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.